Hello, and welcome, welcome to all of you to our second teleclass in Kundalini, the great evolutionary power who is transforming our lives. I've been really loving the different accounts of your awakenings that you've been sending into the listserv, and also the extremely poetic inner teachings that have been coming up during the exercises, and especially by the variety of experience that you've been sharing. There is really something so powerful about a group of people focused together on inner experience with the intention, with the recognition of the goddess, of the divine feminine power within us, who is really the mother of inner experience. Kundalini, as so many of you know, is called the mother of yoga. She's the force within us who allows transformation to happen on the deepest possible level. So I also want to acknowledge that today we're going to discuss more about the different kinds of Kundalini awakening, the effects and experiences, especially to answer some of the questions that have been coming up. We'll meditate, of course. We'll also begin our conversation of how awakening works in the chakras and to open up the knots in the inner body. But I also want to remind you that today is a gorgeous Indian festival day. It's Diwali, the festival of lights. And the energy that flows during Diwali is particularly relevant to our practice and study of Kundalini, because today is sacred to the goddess Lakshmi, who is, of course, an aspect of our awakened inner Shakti, and one of the aspects of our awakened Shakti that many of us particularly adore. Lakshmi is the Shakti of good luck, prosperity, beauty, inner abundance. One of her names is Shri, which means auspiciousness, a kind of all bodies, all levels of auspiciousness, just the quality that makes life feel beautiful, feel sacred. So it's really a particularly powerful moment to be practicing and a time to invoke Kundalini in her aspect as Lakshmi. So we're going to begin by chanting, and in the process I'll also be chanting some of the Kundalini Stava, which you now have the words to. So you can find yourself a comfortable upright posture. Feel yourself grounded in the body. And we've been practicing now with the Muladhara Chakra and the sense of Kundalini Shakti in the Muladhara Chakra. So as you sit tonight, see if you can be present to that chakra, to this place where your body meets the seed. Of course, your body is grounding with the inhalation. The inhalation flows in and lets you relax into the feeling of your body against the seat. And as the exhalation flows out, you become aware of how the torso moves upward, flows upward through the crown of the head. Inhaling, you feel the chest lift and open. Exhaling, you feel the shoulder blades release onto the back. And let yourself now become aware of this chakra at the root of the body, at the base of the body. Imagine it as a plane that you sit on, a yellow square surrounded by a circle and surrounded by four petals, the petals facing, one of the petals moving out in front of you, one behind you, and one on each side. These four petals of the Muladhara Chakra are four forms of what I consider worldly bliss, the bliss of open-eyed waking state consciousness. One of them is called the bliss of the world, Jagadananda. Another is called the bliss of everything, Sarvananda. Another is called Nirananda, pure bliss. So they're these petals, these forms of bliss really indicate what the basis of our life on this earth is. The basis of our life on this earth is the exquisite bliss of being alive, of being present. And as the Shakti awakens and purifies us, we begin to experience this chakra as what it is, which is to say, our exquisite connection with all of life. So with that awareness, with that understanding, with that sense of ourselves grounding in this chakra, you can breathe in and breathe out. And we'll chant first with Krishna Das, the invocational mantras, inviting us to become present to the Sat-Chit Ananda, the inner sense of being pure awareness and pure joyfulness. Then we'll make our offering, asking for the grace to have our practice be of benefit. We'll consider the blissful energy of Kundalini through the Kundalini Stava. And if you have the words, you're very welcome to chant along. And then we'll meditate. We'll have our first meditation and continue with our class. Kundalini Stava, which is one of the great tantric hymns to Kundalini, addresses her as the inner goddess. And it, these verses make it plain to us that our own inner life force energy, our awakening energy, our kundalini, is not different from the creative energy of the world. This is the fundamental tantric understanding about what it is that awakens in us as kundalini comes into action. The first verse addresses kundalini. You are always looking to rescue spiritual seekers and others in this world from the cycle of birth and death. You are the ever young yet ancient origin of all scriptures and sacred writings, as well as of the seed mantras, which are the source of the vibratory source of everything that exists. One should always contemplate you in the mind, hold your image in the mind. Sometimes you transmit teachings to earth as scriptural revelation, as the words of saints. O Creator, you yourself are the beloved consort of the primordial God, the primordial divinity. You are the bearer of beauty and auspiciousness. Please protect me, a bound soul more wretched than the wretched, which is one of the ways that devotees in the tradition address the benefactor. They make themselves very small and helpless, asking for the grace of the Great One. Raise me to a position whereby I may relish being your beloved servant, that I may be united with you. And the Sanskrit, which if you like you can sing along with, goes like this. Janmo dara nirikshani hataruni vedadabi jadima nityam chetasi bhavyate bhuvikada sadvakya sancharini mampatu priyadasa bhavakapadam sanghataye shridhara Dhatri Twam Swayam Adi Deva Vanita Dinati Dinam Pashum. So imagine now that with these words, we've actually called and coaxed our own Kundalini Shakti, the inner awareness, which takes form as the energy that in so many of us is working throughout the body, but which always has a special seat in the Muladhara Chakra. And you can allow the breath, the inflow and outflow of the breath, to begin to bring your awareness to this place, at the perineum, at the base of the body, where Kundalini Shakti, ever young yet ancient, all-powerful yet shy, coils like a spring of light. Her head is up and her head is inside the central channel, the Sushumna Nadi, which runs between the perineum and the crown of the head, just in front of the spinal column, in the subtle body, inside the energy body. And as you inhale now, you imagine, you feel that the energy of Kundalini gathers in the Muladhara Chakra as light or as energy, perhaps just as a feeling, a felt sense of energy. And with the inhalation, you feel that this energy is drawn up from the perineum into this channel of energy, this subtle thread of energy And as it does, it flows up into your pelvic cavity. And you begin to feel the energy of Kundalini Shakti moving through your pelvis from this area just in front of the spinal column where the Muladhara, where the Sushumna Nadi, the central channel, is located, but spreading through your entire pelvic area, inhaling and exhaling. You feel the energy in this place, 2 to 3 inches below the navel. And you feel that whether or not you're aware of it, this energy is opening and healing this part of your body. Perhaps bringing your attention there, you may feel it physically as an energy. You may just be aware of it subtly, inhaling and exhaling. You now begin to draw the energy, to coax the energy. There's no attempt to control her. Just coax her with the inhalation, feeling that she is drawn up now to the area behind your navel. And you sense her presence flowing through the whole navel region from the back to the front. Kundalini is a golden light. She's a golden thread of energy. And she flows up through the central channel, the Sushumna Nadi, but she's also felt throughout this entire area of the body. And for many of you, she may be, shall we say, doing her own thing. She may be moving, flowing in the way that she wants to flow right now. But nonetheless, as the breath flows in and flows out, you sense Kundalini Shakti now rising through, up through the navel region and into the center of the chest. And you feel her expansive energy now from her location in the back of the heart. You begin to sense the flame of the heart. And as the breath flows in and flows out, you sense Kundalini expanding through the heart, making the flame of the heart glow. Now with the inhalation, allow the energy to flow up into your throat. Feel Kundalini Shakti opening up the chakra, the center, at the base of the throat, in the area of your vocal cords. Feel her expanding through the throat center, expanding through this center, this chakra. The name of the throat center chakra is Vishuddha, which means very pure. And in the Vishuddha chakra is not only our power of inspired speech, not only our voice, our sense of voice, but also a portal into the world of dreams and meditation. So as Kundalini expands here with the inhalation and exhalation, you sense the presence of this, the white, pure white energy of the Vishuddha chakra expanding as light through your throat. And then with the inhalation and exhalation rising up through the center of the head, to the center, the very center of the head, to the Ajna Chakra, the command center. And there in the Ajna Chakra, as you allow Kundalini to feel her way into the center of the head, you become aware of another flame, the flame that exists in this center, which and begin to open up your experience of your non-dual self, your pure awareness. This center contains a thumb-sized flame whose color is white. And you can breathe in and out of the center of the head, feeling the breath flowing in and out through the flame, almost as though you were breathing inside the head, as though the breath, powered by Kundalini Shakti, is expanding inside the center of the head, not leaving the body. Don't think too much about this. Just see if this suggestion can help your awareness center in the head with the flame of the Ajna Chakra. Having the feeling that this subtle breath simply arises and subsides inside the head. With the next inhalation and the next exhalation, feel the Shakti and your attention dropping down from the center of the head back down into the heart flame. And let your awareness, your breath, flow inside the heart, as if the heart center itself, the Anahata Chakra, the flame inside the heart, is breathing. And you are invited to open your eyes or keep them closed. And especially, you're invited to allow yourself to remain conscious of the Shakti moving in the heart region, because today is the day of Lakshmi, whose energy is particularly evident in the heart. One of my favorite metaphors for the way Kundalini Shakti works in the body is the metaphor of Kundalini as taking, as embodying different aspects of the divine feminine, of the goddess. The yogic tradition, especially the tantric tradition, identifies the different manifestations of Kundalini with particular goddess forms, even though there's an overall recognition that there's just one energy here. It has different flavors and personalities in the subtle world, just as it does within us. And different tantric traditions identify the goddess forms who are associated with Kundalini differently, but the simplest way to look at our experience of awakened Kundalini is through the prism of the three main goddesses, or let's say three of the main goddesses in the Indian pantheon: Kali, the goddess of transformation, revolutionary activity, and also the dissolution of karmic traces in our body. This is very important. Lakshmi, who's the goddess of abundance and love and beauty, and Saraswati, the divinity whose aspect, whose area of life is wisdom, speech, music, and subtle insight. When Kundalini manifests in her Kali aspect, she breaks through the contraction in the Muladhara chakra, which is known in the esoteric tradition as the Brahma Granti. Granti means knot. Brahma is the name of the creator. His name means the vastness. And the Brahma Granti is the fundamental contraction that keeps us bound. So the experience that some of us have when Kundalini awakens of a very dramatic gathering of energy in this part of the body is actually an experience of the breaking of the knot, the Brahma Granti, the knot of Brahma, which actually allows Kundalini to begin moving in the body. The breaking of the knot of Brahma is not always so dramatic, just as Kundalini awakening may not be experienced in this part of the body. But at some point in our practice, this knot will palpably release. And this is when we actually begin to be able to experience subtle energies as real. We begin to be able to experience the way energy flows in our body in ways that we may not have been aware of before. So Kundalini, in her Kali aspect, and we're going to talk about this more later, is the aspect of Kundalini that purifies our physical, subtle, and causal bodies. The Saraswati aspect of Kundalini inspires subtle openings of our awareness, insights about the nature of reality. And she also manifests as awakened creativity, both in art and in life. An artist friend of mine who's always been very nervous about his capacity to paint in an inspired way, he told me once that in the months after his Kundalini awakening, he would sit for meditation and on his inner screen, painting after painting would unfold. So many that he would not have been able to paint them all in 30 years. So this is one of the ways, and I'm sure this has happened for several of you here, one of the ways that Kundalini manifests as Saraswati is to awaken creativity and inspiration of all kinds within us. There are a couple of people here who began writing poetry after the awakening of Kundalini. And the messages that you've been accessing through writing with your non-dominant hand are actually expressions of the Saraswati energy of Kundalini. The Lakshmi aspect of Kundalini is related to our luck, our prosperity, and the basic improvement in daily life, which is the experience of so many of us, even when we don't have more traditional so-called yogic experience. So it's the Lakshmi Shakti inside Kundalini that will often manifest as feelings of love and blissfulness. It's the Lakshmi Shakti. This was one of my early experiences that makes you fall in love. You know, sometimes when Kundalini is very active, you just look around at the people in your life and you fall in love with them. It's like a movement of the Shakti in the heart. And this is also the aspect of Kundalini. Lakshmi Shakti is responsible for that overall sense of well-being in your daily life. A lot of you, actually, at least five or six of you, have written me either publicly or privately to say that though their Kundalini awakening brought no dramatic meditation experiences and no feeling of energy rising in the spine, but instead a very palpable experience of better relationships, more money, and especially a general sense of grace, of sweetness flowing in their lives. One man was telling me last night that in the first year after his awakening, he left a bad marriage. He met a woman who was the love of his life, married her, and since then has had two kids. And though his meditative life has had its ups and downs, his exterior life, his personal life, has continued to be joyful, happy, fulfilling. And this is the action of Kundalini Shakti in the form of Lakshmi. Often, qualities in our character, like impatience and irritability, become gentler and kinder. Our family members tell us that we're nicer. So there's a lot of sense of inner boons that happen when the Lakshmi Shakti is activated. I'll never forget, actually, an old friend telling me that after 3 years of meditating with an awake Kundalini, she was feeling quite discouraged because she didn't have dramatic visions like other people in her spiritual community. And so one day she asked inwardly, has my Shakti really been awakened? Has Kundalini really affected my life? And immediately after asking that question, she became aware of this very gray, sad feeling of depression, this kind of leaden sadness. And she realized that this depressed, gray feeling had been her constant experience throughout her childhood and most of her life. It was kind of part of the genetic inheritance of her family. And she realized that through that though that heavy, depressed mood occasionally arose, that for the previous three years since awakening, she had been radically free of it. You know, even though it showed up from time to time, her overall experience was of well-being in her body and in her psyche. So the quality of awakened Lakshmi is really the felt sense of abundance, whether it's financial abundance or the overall feeling of being gifted by life. And it also affects the people around us. Someone shared in one of the emails on the listserv how her husband began unexpectedly expressing empathy towards her that he often didn't do. And this is actually a residual effect of Kundalini moving through us to the people that we know, the people that we love. So it's very important as we track the movements of Kundalini within us to recognize how much of our experience is happening in varieties of ways, and to feel that also that we are actually being guided and encouraged by this powerful force of goodness, of auspiciousness, which is the Lakshmi aspect of the Shakti, just as we are being purified by the radical presence of the Kali energy and being offered insights and subtle openings of our awareness through the Saraswati side of the Shakti. So, once again, we're going to practice some of the classical tantric methods for helping Kundalini move through the channels of the body. As you know, when we study the geography of Kundalini in the body, we are introduced to the three central nadis, the Sushumna, or central channel, which rises up through the center of the body, towards the back of the body, up against the spinal column. But of course in the subtle body, and which we may experience as a very subtle thread of awareness or as a big channel that seems to seems to fill our entire inner body. The Sushumna Nadi is sometimes called the Royal Road. It's the pathway, it's the central pathway of the awakened Kundalini. Even though, as someone said, It's not that we always experience Kundalini as rising in a straight line up and up the Sushumna Nadi. It's not, Kundalini is not like an elevator which stops at the first floor, then the second floor, then the third floor. It actually does, she actually does move through the body, the whole body. But the activation of the Sushumna Nadi is going to happen whether we're aware of it or not. And one of the reasons that I like to meditate with awareness of the central channel is because when Kundalini moves through the central channel, what she's actually doing above all else is purifying the karmic patterns that are lodged inside our causal body, which we'll say something more about later in the class, and which actually determine the unconscious patterns that rule our life. So the great work of Kundalini is to purify these patterns. And as Kundalini flows into the central channel, it also activates the two channels that intertwine around the central channel, which are called the Ida and Pingala nadis. The Ida being on the left side, the Pingala on the right. The Ida is associated with the moon, with the feminine, with coolness. The Ida with the sun. I'm sorry, the Ida with the moon and the Pingala with the sun. And they're also associated with our nostrils. And this is why one of the major practices for activating and working with Kundalini that's practiced in the yoga community, in the Hatha yoga community, is a practice called Nadi Shodhana, which we're going to do now and going to practice at home throughout the course, throughout the class. So we start by finding the mudra that's known as Nasagra mudra. It's the position that we use to close off one nostril and then the other in alternate nostril breathing. So find yourself a comfortable posture. Bring your left hand to your thigh, and you can hold it in chin mudra with thumb and forefinger touching. Now, bring the right forefinger and middle finger together and touch the space between the eyebrows with the forefinger and middle finger, and you're going to rest them there. And then hold the ring finger and the pinky together. So what you have is a particular mudra in which we brace the hand by touching the ring finger and middle finger, I'm sorry, the forefinger and middle finger. And then we use the ring finger and the thumb to close alternate nostrils. Alternate nostril breathing cleanses the Ida and Pingala nadis, which is why it's called Nadi Shodhana, or purification of the channels. And we'll be practicing it in the tantric style, which involves practicing with the mantra Om, which of course is the seed syllable of manifestation, the sound of creation itself. And we'll practice it with its three primal syllables, Aum, Aum. So you can just let yourself be present with the breath for a moment, breathing through the nostrils, inhaling with the thought Aum, exhaling with the thought Aum, having the feeling that the breath is flowing in and out of your nostrils. You feel the breath coming into the edge of the nostrils, cool on the inhalation, warm on the exhalation. Now, using your thumb, close off the right nostril and inhale for a count of five through the left nostril. One, Om, two, Om, three, Om, four, Om, five, Om. And then close off the left nostril with the ring finger and your right nostril for five counts. One, om, two, om, three, om, four, om, five, om, and inhale through the right nostril. Close off the right nostril with your thumb and exhale for five counts through the left nostril. Inhale through the left nostril. Close off the left nostril, open up the right. Exhale through the right nostril. Please allow the count to be such that you're not uncomfortable in the process. If you need it to be shorter, that's fine. Inhale through the right nostril. Close off the right nostril. Exhale for five counts through the left nostril. Inhale through the left nostril. Close off the left nostril with the ring finger. Exhale through the open right nostril. Continue inhaling through the right nostril and closing it off. Exhaling to the left nostril. Inhaling through the left nostril, closing it off, exhaling through the right nostril. Breath once again return to its natural rhythm. And with the next inhalation, once again feel the presence of the Kundalini as a coiled spring in your Muladhara chakra. Feel the presence of the Kundalini Shakti gathered in your Muladhara. Perhaps she's more active somewhere else, but see if you can allow her to be present in the Muladhara, in the center of the yellow square within the circle, surrounded by the four red petals. Feel her now rising into the Sushumna Nadi, rising up to the area in the center of the pelvis and expanding through the pelvis. Inhaling and exhaling. You allow the mantra, Aum, to flow with the exhalation. And with the next inhalation, feel that you're coaxing the Shakti up into the area around your navel. Aum sounds itself with the exhalation silently or out loud if that feels like what your Shakti wants to do, to sound the syllable out loud. The next inhalation, draw her up into the region of the heart and become aware of the golden flame in the back of the heart. As the inhalation and exhalation flows in the heart, again with Aum in the exhalation, with the next inhalation, let the Shakti, the energy, rise up to the center of the throat, expanding through the throat with the sensation that the throat is filled with a subtle sense of whiteness, white light, white energy, soft, luminous whiteness. And you may feel the tickle or the opening in the throat, which for so many of us is a place where the voice is blocked. Recognizing that as Kundalini draws up into the throat, she begins to open the throat. And with the next inhalation, let her flow up into the head, into the place in the very center of the head between the eyebrows, which is the Ajna Chakra. And notice the flame of the center here in the head. It's a luminous white flame. And please know that it's not necessary to visualize any of this. You can simply sense its presence as an energy. And it will have the same effect of activating the inner energy in these centers. Inhaling and exhaling. You feel as though the breath is actually flowing inside the center of the head, flowing inside the flame. And your attention now flows down through the very center of the body, into the heart. And you feel now, you sense the presence of the golden flame in the heart. Kundalini Shakti expanding through the heart. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. This practice that we've done in the last part of this meditation, where you actually imagine or feel that the breath is happening inside the head center and inside the heart center. For some of you, that may feel unnatural, but as you practice it, what starts to happen is that your breath, your breathing begins to happen inside the Sushumna Nadi. In yogic lore, it's said that ordinarily the breath flows up and down the Ida and Pingala Nadis, and that when this is the case, our awareness is outgoing. As the breath begins to flow inside the Sushumna Nadi, our awareness naturally becomes indrawn, and we go very deeply into our inner bodies, into our subtle body, our causal body, and eventually into what's called in the Indian tradition the supra-causal body, the state where we are actually experiencing awake consciousness. And one way to open up to this state is through the active Kundalini, by allowing our awareness to be present in the Sushumna Nadi, which runs between the perineum and the crown in the subtle body, and also, as many of you know, flows down into the earth and connects us to the core of the earth, and flows up into the heavens, connecting us to the planetary center of our solar system, as well as to the expanded realms of higher consciousness. But right now, we're focusing inside the heart, and you want your breath to be very easy and relaxed. So I want to say a little bit more in detail about how Kundalini is awakened, again, because we've gotten some questions about it, and because it's a piece of Kundalini lore that's sometimes misunderstood. Classically, Kundalini is awakened through three basic means. First, through an initiation or transmission, a diksha, from a teacher. And this transmission can be either conscious and deliberate, that is, teachers will formally give you transmission or diksha, either through a physical touch, through a mantra, through a look, through gaze, or simply by having the thought, let this person's kundalini be awakened. My guru used to give an initiatory program during which he would literally initiate people by physical touch. But initiation actually can take place without the teacher being aware of it, simply through the lineage energy. Sometimes people, and I've met many of them who receive initiation from one of the gurus of my lineage or another guru by seeing a video on YouTube or by looking at a picture or through a recording of the guru's mantra or, and this is very common, through connection with a disciple of a lineage teacher, a disciple who's actually practiced to such an extent that he or she has fully embodied the lineage energy. This often happens in families or between lovers. It's a kind of natural transmission of the energy, and I know that some of you have experienced it. And it can happen through really any form of close association, but most commonly the lineage energy is passed on by teachers who are themselves initiated disciples. The second way that kundalini is commonly awakened is through hatha yoga practice and pranayama, and this is often considered problematic. There are teachers in India and the West who teach practices that one teacher describes it as squeezing the body so that kundalini is activated through pranayama and through, especially through a particular set of locks or bandhas, especially mula bandha, where you squeeze the sphincter. The awakening through yoga utilizes what's called the apanavayu, which is that aspect of the prana that moves in the lower part of the body. The apana controls excretion and all the functions of the lower abdomen. And in the Yoga Kundalini Upanishad, which is one of the classic texts about the Hatha Yoga approach to the awakening of Shakti, we are given instructions to contract the sphincter muscle at the end of the exhalation, which, if it's done with the right focus, will cause the apana vayu, which normally flows downward, to move upward. And then with the inhalation, you draw the breath up into the third chakra and then into the fourth chakra with great force. And the contraction and the strong pranayama, they say, the text says, heats kundalini, which then rises into the central channel, this is shumna nadi, and begins to flow up the body into the head, into the crown of the head. So this is said to actually reverse the normal flow of energy in the body, to encourage the prana, which normally flows downward, to flow upward. And what I would say to you is don't try this at home. It's a very forceful way of awakening kundalini as opposed to the practices that we're doing, which are much more gentle, much more meditative, and much more I'm going to use the word safe, although I don't want to give the impression that other methods are not safe. But when you're practicing, when you're doing the forceful hatha yoga, what my tradition calls self-effort form of kundalini awakening, it actually is slightly violent. And my guru used to say that when you use a hatha yoga contraction to awaken kundalini in this forceful way, sometimes kundalini is, you know, kind of, it's like waking up somebody out of a deep sleep too suddenly, and it can be a little bit discombobulating. So we're always told to do these kinds of practices under expert guidance. In other words, with a Hatha Yoga teacher who's been really trained in these practices. So as I say, the methods that we are practicing, which are kind of a combination of gentle breathing and attention and visualization, mantra and transmission, are much more gentle and really much more about coaxing devotion and becoming sensitive to the energy of Kundalini as she rises and moves in the body. The next method which rouses Kundalini is through mantra practice. And mantra is tremendously important in Kundalini practice for many, many reasons, but especially because mantra is the sound form of Kundalini. This is a tremendous esoteric secret. It's very subtle, but which is subject to experience. We actually, as we get deeply into mantra practice, whether we're practicing one mantra or activating our centers through different seed mantras, bija mantras, we will in time begin to recognize the deep link between mantra, especially the seed syllables, the syllables like yang and rung and lung and wang, which are connected to the chakras and which are also connected to different elements and different forms of deity energy. All the sacred mantras that are repeated in Sanskrit and other sacred languages actually arise as vibrations of Kundalini. The Kundalini Stavahan, one of the verses that you've received, describes her as the origin of sacred scriptures and also of seed syllables, all of which arise spontaneously in the hearts of yogis when they meditate with Kundalini's grace. So one of the experiences that you begin to have in the course of practice, for some people it happens soon, for others it takes a long time, is to begin to experience mantras arising spontaneously through the activation of Kundalini Shakti. Sometimes you actually feel as though Shakti is singing to you from inside. And it is actually true that at some point as the mantras become seated in us, we experience them being repeated by the inner Shakti. I have a friend who was once on a plane that plunged 1,000 feet somewhere over California, which, as you can imagine, was a terrifying experience for everybody in the plane. And as the plane was plummeting, she began to hear mantras arising from inside her. And the mantras became louder and louder until she was just listening to the mantras, and her fear was being dissolved in the mantras. So the inner Shakti in the form of speech, the Saraswati Shakti, can be profound. So Kundalini can be awakened in these three ways, and she can also wake up spontaneously. That is, just out of the blue, as again has happened to some of you, happened to me that way. Actually, one of the ways Kundalini awakens spontaneously is through drugs. I forgot to mention that. It's in the scriptures. Drugs, mantras, and just spontaneous awakening. Yogis used to historically use drugs, just like the yogis of Mesoamerica used drugs, teaching plants, to activate Kundalini. My own experience with drugs, my own first Kundalini awakening happened with a drug, is that the drug can actually activate Shakti, but in order to really practice with Shakti, in order to allow the awakening to mature so that it actually rises through your body and transforms your body, it's actually, the drug is not enough. It's actually very necessary to practice. And this is also true when Shakti awakens spontaneously, which again, I've known happen to many people, especially in the last 30 years. One reason for this is what the texts say, is that most of us have had many, many lifetimes of spiritual practice, and more than that, of longing. We've literally longed for the truth, longed for an experience of the reality of the sacred. We've done so much prayer. We've done so many austerities in different traditions in order to arrive at this place where we can come together and have this sacred conversation. So for many of us, and I would say many of the awakened souls who are alive at this time, this kind of spontaneous awakening is part of the radical, we could say, cosmological opportunity of this particular time. My first spiritual teacher used to say, and this was in the early 70s, that we were living in a time in which huge waves of energy are coming to the planet, and that the practice that we did was to learn how to channel those energies so that as they came, they would become, we would be able to work with them for consciousness expansion. And of course, this is happening now, whether we describe it through the prism of the Mayan calendar, the event that's supposed to happen on December 21st, or whether we see it as the result of the storms on the sun, or whether we see it as in terms of the astrological configurations that have been going on for the last few years and are very strong now, or our current position of the Earth and the relationship to the center of the galaxy. You know, there's so many ways that people describe it. It is undeniably true that a lot of Shakti is coming, physical energy, cosmic energy is coming into the Earth's atmosphere. And one effect of it is to awaken many people, literally awakening the spiritual energy, which is our internal equivalent of cosmological or planetary energy. And it makes sense, since there's really one energy flowing through this universe, that the external cosmological increase in the energy of the atmosphere would affect us. So let's breathe and be present in the heart. I want to talk about purification. And the reason I want to talk about purification is because purification is actually the most important gift that Kundalini gives us, and because it's important to understand how it works. And then as we cover this subject of purification, then next week we'll talk about the chakras and the experience of full awakening. Kundalini does two basic kriyas or activities in the body. She destroys impurities and karmas, and she simultaneously unfolds, gives us access to our true nature as love and awareness. And these two movements of Kundalini Shakti go on simultaneously. It's really like a pulse of Kundalini. You know, it's like the breathing in and breathing out of the Shakti. She expands your awareness, and she brings up the blocks that are standing in the way. Blocks that may come from this lifetime, from your psychological experience, but often blocks that come from many lifetimes. So many of you have described in your letters, the letters to the listserv and letters to me, that you may have had a strong awakening in which you're filled with bliss, love, devotion, had very palpable spiritual experiences, and then suddenly you are plunged into agitation, anxiety, fear, you know, some form of darkness. And if we don't understand what's happening, this is actually one of the big misunderstandings that occurs when Kundalini begins this kind of double-headed process, that we feel that we've lost our connection to grace, because what we're finding during this purification process, especially the one that happens during early awakening, is that all this stuff, this really painful dark stuff that we've managed to kind of keep in the background, suddenly comes to the foreground, and we can't keep from seeing it. I had this experience very strongly in my early days of Kundalini awakening, and it's happened to me periodically since, but never as intensely as that one. Where after weeks and weeks of just exquisite pink tinged, blissful, in love with the world expansions, I woke up one morning completely overwhelmed with a feeling of unworthiness. It felt so bedrock that I was absolutely sure it was true. And a lot of people have written to me about this. It's one of the big things in the lives of seekers, this maybe the lives of all beings. So this is the process of emotional purification, which will happen periodically as layers of karmic knots and physical and emotional toxins and traumas are brought up and expelled from the system. And the problem that most of us have with it is that we're so used to identifying with our emotional states and our stories that we get trapped into feeling that this is who I really am. So it's when the purification is happening that we really need to understand how to practice with an awakened Kundalini. Sometimes it's very physical. In fact, physical and emotional purification, as I've said, is classically associated with the goddess Kali, who is a very, very dynamic aspect of the world Shakti, whose function in our bodies is to cut the knots, she's a force. She's the universal force that's strong enough to blast through the knots. And it's often Kali Shakti who creates the awakenings in the first place. So if our body and our emotional body, if our subtle, physical and subtle bodies were completely clear of all blocks, Kundalini would simply be expanding through our physical and subtle bodies, and we would experience ourselves as light and bliss. We would actually experience energy just expanding inside the body in such a way as to connect us easily to the energy around us. And I know that many of you have these experiences. But since most of us hold a lot of karmic blocks in the body and a lot of toxins, some of which are more and more intense because of the environmental factors in our lives now, the awakened Shakti actually has to spend quite a lot of time clearing them out. My own awakening and the awakening of many people my age took place more or less completely out of the blue. I mean, we'd all been smoking, we'd all taken drugs, we'd lived lives completely, at least speaking for myself and many of the people I knew in those days, we'd never done spiritual practice. So we hadn't done any inner work ourselves. So an awful lot of the early experience of Kundalini awakening involved these quite radical purifications. And for many of us, especially if we've eaten junk food or used a lot of alcohol, or engaged in excesses, as the scriptures say, of various kinds, Kundalini actually has to clear this out of our system. And this can be, it can happen in different ways. It's sometimes quite uncomfortable. I mean, that when some Kundalini physical reactions do feel like detoxing, you might get a fever. And you know it's Kundalini because it doesn't last. It's like there's a tremendous feeling of heat and then it dissipates. A lot of people in meditation feel the Shakti shakes our bodies. We twirl. We can pant. Our temperature changes. Some people do kind of amazing movements. I've had many friends who do periodically spontaneous kundalini asanas. The body will literally move into a posture that is just doing it on its own. Shakti is moving the body. And I've known people who could do in meditation with the help of kundalini incredible back bends that they can't do in normal life. People whose bodies have been stiff and, uncoordinated who manage to, who'll find themselves in a radical fish pose or even doing headstands that, again, you may not have been able to do on your own. Very often these kriyas, these particular hatha yoga kriyas will happen to people who've done a lot of hatha yoga practice, and because one of the gifts of kundalini is that she brings to fruition any effort that you have made. So, for example, if you've been doing hatha yoga or tai chi or meditation, or if you've been writing, or if you've been doing some creative work, or you've been doing psychological work, you may find that kundalini gives you the power to kind of bring these practices to fruition. But essentially, the physical movements, shaking, swaying, panting, vibrations, heat, the feeling of being tickled from inside, which happens to a lot of people. The texts say that it's like ants crawling inside your body. Can be quite pleasant or feel kind of weird. All of these are the result of Shakti purifying toxins. One common practice that I've had for years is this experience of having the Shakti push my head backwards so that it locks itself between the shoulder blades. And in my case, I had a whiplash injury, which I subsequently realized the kundalini was trying to heal. But this practice also opens the heart chakra. So if you have this experience of the head going back and lodging between the shoulder blades, see if you can have the feeling that kundalini is doing this out of love for you. And to realize as these practices, as these manifestations go on, this is very, very important, that kundalini is the intelligence of the universe. She's the primordial intelligence, and she's the primordial love. So however she works inside your body, inside your mind, inside your emotional body, is actually an expression of her love for herself as you and for you as yourself. One of the beautiful attitudes you can take when you're experiencing dramatic or not so dramatic manifestations of Kundalini Shakti is to have the experience or have the recognition that you're being held in the arms of the mother. It's said in some traditions that what faith is the sense of safety that a baby feels when her mother is holding her. And if we have reasonably good caretaking, as babies we trust that the person who's holding us in our arms is going to continue to hold us. And the same way, we can trust that Kundalini Shakti, who is the mother of the universe, is holding us, working within us in a way that is specifically and expressly designed to expand our awareness in exactly the timetable that is necessary for us. Being aware of the Shakti, practicing with the Shakti, partnering with the Shakti as we are doing, is not the same thing as trying to control her or channel her. The way we do these practices of really coaxing, imagining Kundalini moving up through the body and down through the body and expanding in the heart, what we're really doing as we do this kind of practice is subtly inviting Kundalini to follow our attention. You know, as they say, energy follows attention. So we're really partnering and guiding her. We're not trying to get her to do anything. I like to think of it as dancing with Kundalini. But one thing that is very important as we experience Kundalini, especially when she's working strongly, is to pay attention to her fuel. And that's why diet is important. I've mentioned this in some of the letters, and I'm going to send you some information about it along with this homework. It's because Kundalini, especially the prana Kundalini, the form of Kundalini who works in the physical and subtle bodies, is a fiery energy. She needs fuel, and the fuel she uses is called in Sanskrit ojas. It's actually the subtle fluid in the bone marrow, the substance that's also the source of stem cells. So it's a profoundly creative, rejuvenating force inside the body. And when the ojas is strong and powerful and flowing, it actually keeps us from aging. It supports our life from inside. And ojas is nourished by protein. In the texts of Tantra, it's suggested that we drink plenty of products like milk, that we eat ghee, clarified butter, sweetened with honey, milk sweetened with honey, certain Ayurvedic herbs. If you're a vegetarian, you can do this by drinking almond milk or other nut milk. And there are certain times and certain constitutions that actually need a bit of animal protein, although in my experience, Kundalini is best nourished by soft proteins, eggs, milk, ghee, or nut milks. And also Kundalini needs some sweetness, which should not encourage you to eat a lot of refined sugar, but you do need a little bit of fruit or honey in your diet, because it's the sweetness that allows the fiery energy of Kundalini to work more coolly, more subtly. Another thing that is important is sweet fragrances, scents. Oils like sandalwood, rose oil, jasmine, sweet fragrances. And again, the more natural they are, the better. So, and there are also certain Ayurvedic tonics, and they're Chinese tonics, which do the same thing, but I'm not so familiar with them. I'll send you the name of some of these as well. So one of the main functions of Kundalini, as we said, is to purify our karmas in the physical body, inside the subtle body. And it's when Kundalini is working in the subtle body that we often experience emotional upheavals, emotional purifications. And as you become attuned to the energetic movements of your own Kundalini, you'll recognize that she has a certain pattern. It has different cycles in all of us, but pretty much everyone experiences some version of this pattern. For it's a kind of expansion-contraction pattern. So, for example, you'll have a very deep meditation opening, very lovely inner state of stillness or bliss or peace, a visionary space. And sometimes when you come out of it, you'll feel irritable or spacey or fluish or exhausted. And one reason for this is because when there's a big opening on the subtler level, it also allows a kind of flushing of the subtle and physical toxins that may have been blocked by the energy that Kundalini has just opened up. Another reason may be that you're ojas depleted, which is why diet is important when meditation is strong. But this expansion contraction is natural. It's a normal part of the flow of the Shakti, especially, you know, as we know, and we'll talk about this in more detail next week. Every one of the chakras has its own emotional imbalances associated with it. And especially the lower chakras actually are the seat of a lot of our wounds, especially wounds from this lifetime. One thing that's very, very helpful when you're doing, when you're having a lot of emotional purification is to do mantra practice. Mantra helps to move the process along, and it's also intrinsically soothing to the Shakti. You know, again, the connection between Kundalini and sacred sound is so close that that really, in a sense, the two of them are one. So when you're feeling agitated or fearful, practicing with mantra is very helpful and very important. And if there's a mantra that you work with naturally, you know, practice with that one. Otherwise, you can practice with Aum or with the mantra Yang in the heart, as we've been doing during this class. The other practice that the sages give us for practicing when purification is happening is the practice of witness awareness. It's very important when Kundalini is activating toxins and blocks to be able to remind yourself not to identify with what's happening, not to think that it's you who's feeling toxic or that it's you who's identified with the emotions that are arising. So the cultivation of witness awareness, of simply asking yourself, what is it in me that knows I'm experiencing this bliss, or what is it in me that knows that I'm experiencing anger? Just to remember to check in with this awareness part of yourself, is really extremely important. One reason why it's important also to sit in meditation regularly when Kundalini is active is because it's when we're sitting in meditation that Kundalini cleans out the karmas in the causal body through the Sushumna Nadi. The causal body is the name that the yogic texts give to the unconscious, and they locate it as a realm of unconsciousness, the dual unconsciousness that lies between the subtle body and the supracausal body, the awake, by the body of awake meditative states, the body of self-realization. The causal body and the Sushumna Nadi are where those buried karmic patterns are lodged, the patterns that we can't see, that we don't know are directing our lives, and which really only Kundalini is ultimately able to unlock. Kundalini Shakti can burn the lifetimes, the karmas of thousands of lifetimes in one deep meditation session. And the more deeply you give yourself to meditation, the more space you give Kundalini to do that inner work. And of course, nowadays we have different modalities to accelerate this process. But in the end, it's our willingness to actually sit regularly and give Kundalini time to work on us, that, you know, that allows this process of inward karma cleaning to occur. Sometimes, I mentioned this last week, we'll have the experience of karmas coming up and being released in very dramatic fashion. You might have an accident or fall deeply in love with somebody who's, you know, which completely unsettles your life, and then have the relationship end. Sometimes things are taken away from you almost by force. And again, this is often a sign that your karmas are being burned, you know, through the action of Kundalini. And this, by the way, is not, it's not a superstition. It's not an excuse for things going wrong in your life. It is actually the truth of what happens. I have a friend who a few years ago was crossing the street in front of his house when he was hit by a car and knocked down. He escaped really serious injury, but he broke his arm and ankle, and he passed out for a moment. And as he was in the kind of passed out state, he began to see himself in different bodies in different lifetimes, and he saw himself with people, with women whom he sensed were his wife or partner, and he actually saw these lifetimes, these scenes, flying away from him as though they were being wrested out of his system. And he heard a voice inside say, "This accident cleared the karmas of several future lives." Now, I have no idea if that was a true experience, but this is a very pragmatic person, and I sense that this is, in fact, what is sometimes happening through the grace of Kundalini as these old patterns are dissolving. Sometimes we have visions, and some people have shared that, of these patterns dissolving. We see a dust-filled attic being swept, or a dark basement with a shaft of light coming in, or we actually experience fire. We have a vision of fire. And I know a guy who used to dream of roto-rooters clearing out the plumbing. And these are all symbolic representations of this deep karmic cleansing, which Kundalini is doing inside our system. So you can find yourself once more in an upright posture. Allow the breath to flow in deeply down towards the base. Flow up with the sense that you're coaxing the Kundalini energy. This time we're going to see if we can allow the energy to flow up, straight up through the center of the body, into the heart, through the throat, into the center of the head. So feel that you're aware of Kundalini as a subtle spring of light in the Muladhara chakra, inside that yellow square, surrounded by a circle with four red petals representing four kinds of bliss. Let yourself ground through the Muladhara chakra. And then feel the presence of this energy, the Kundalini Shakti, flowing up with the inhalation, up through the central channel, up through the center of the body, this time right up to the heart. And inhaling and exhaling, feel the presence of the golden flame in the heart. Feel the energy of the breath joining with the flame. Feel the breath flowing in and out within the heart. With the next inhalation, allow the energy to flow upward into the center of the head, and be aware of the presence of the luminous white flame in the head center. And as the breath flows in and out, let your awareness be present with the flame in the center of the head. Its location is towards the back of the head. Just behind the eyebrows, just above the upper palate, this subtle flame, luminous white, the flame of the Ajna chakra, the sixth chakra, the center where awareness begins to open to the possibility of non-duality, non-separation. As the breath flows in and out of the head center, activating the flame, allow the mantra syllable Om to sound itself with the exhalation. Om is the Bija mantra, the seed of the sixth chakra. And this mantra contains the shaktis of all mantras. So as the breath flows in and flows out of the center of the head, the inhalation making you aware of this flame, the exhalation sounding, radiating with Aum. You let your attention center in the head. And at the same time, you allow yourself to feel the presence of the Sushumna Nadi, the central channel, that flows like the stem of a flower from the center of the head down through the throat, through the center of the heart, through the torso, the lower belly, down to the Muladhara chakra. So that now the breath flowing in and down to the Muladhara now flows up through the center of the body, through the Sushumna Nadi, and blossoms as the flame in the center of the head. You're connected down through the Muladhara at the base, up through the flame of the sixth chakra in the center of the head. And your inhalation and exhalation tie your lower chakra, your lowest, your root chakra, to your head chakra, like a subtle cord that grounds you to earth in the Muladhara and draws you up to spacious awareness in the Ajna. The grace of Kundalini Shakti, the grace of the goddess Lakshmi, bless you tonight and during the week to come. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. Namaste.